Okay, everybody, welcome back. This is James Martinez live. Okay, I hope everybody takes a deep breath, sits back, relaxes, and stops everything that they're doing completely. Just stop. If you're probably going to be listening to this live or whether you listen to it in the archives, I want you to sit down. I want you to consider what my next two guests are about to talk about. And I want you to think about it in a different way because I've been talking about this subject for the entire time I've been on radio and professionally even before that. This is the area of cold fusion we're talking about. The website you're going to be seeing this on, it's probably going to go into other places as well. It's going to be coldfusionnow.org. That is going to be the central conjunction point of some changes in the attitude, I would say, of what's necessary, what needs to be done. And that, and I, my next two guests are really important people, especially because they can help you. Think about that. These guys have the ability to change the economic situation in the United States. It's within reach to do this. Nobody in radio anywhere is even discussing this at length whatsoever. I'm going to make another little announcement here before we bring these guys on. The dynamic duo, by the way. I'd like to anyway, that's a whole different thing. Anyway, I want to let everybody know that I spoke to Alex Jones, producers, about this, and I mentioned this to some other people, Cold Fusion people I know out in the field, that he was ready to go in and talk about Dr. Rossi and coldfusionnow.org. Anyway, so that didn't happen. So a couple of days ago, I spoke to one of his producers, and I recently broke a totally different worldwide story on a wholly different element and mentioned that to him. And then I said, so whatever happened to him before I even finished the sentence, he said, oh, about the Cold Fusion thing? Well, Alex thinks that's not relevant. He's not ready to deal with that yet. And that's basically what happened there. So for those people that have been wondering what happened there, there's a big, big question mark, unfortunately, which means quite a few things. But hopefully those things will be answered today. So my guests today are with the Brilliant Energy Corporation. Now, I'm going to have to spell this one out for you to get it. I've listed it on the website, but for those of you people listening, it's BRILLOUINENERGY.com. Just go there, and you'll see the profiles of the guests I have on right now. I'm going to be speaking to Robert George, Chief Executive Officer, and Robert Gottes, President and Chief Technical Officer. Those titles are not big enough. They're not big enough. They should be changed. They should be bigger than that because this is how important this is. Okay, so the area that we're dealing with now, as you know, I've been interviewing people and a lot of stuff has happened. There's going to be, I might as well mention here that there's going to be a big mainstream news story that's coming out where we're going to have our first Hollywood celebrity, well-known, very respected celebrity is going to come out and put their face and back this up publicly. That's going to be coming probably in the next month. And I don't know the level in which that's going to get how much publicity, but I presume a lot, which could help this field enormously. But the gentleman that could really help this field, I'm going to be talking to right now. So without further ado, welcome aboard, guys.
Well, thank you, James.
Okay, so I know there's a lot of things, because I've initially when I contacted you guys, you turned down an interview. And I'm not, I wasn't, that didn't bother me at all, because whatever's necessary to advance everything, I abide by. So, and you weren't interested in doing an interview at that particular time. But now, things have changed dramatically. Now, I've got a lot of questions that I want to ask, but what is the one thing that you would say at this point, is whether it's money, the public, or anything, that the Cold Fusion, like, area of interest needs most? And that question's for both of you.
Well, I think it needs funding for certain, but to really go to your early comment, the reason we're interested in doing the interview now is because after 10 years of work by Robert Gottes, you know, he's duplicated a control system in the laboratory that is able to start and stop the reaction to get the boiler to run steady state. And so sometimes later next month, we will be working with SRI International to do another version which will operate at a higher operating temperature. So it's an exciting time for the company, but the situation as far as financing is, it remains to be very difficult. And we've had angel investors, and we've been very fortunate. We have circled $1 million right now, and we're trying to close on the other half of that $2 million financing so we can bring this thing to market and get strategic partners lined up.
Okay. Hang on just a second. Did you just hear what he just said, everybody? I hope you're getting this, because I've been looking at this, dealing with this as a non-scientist, non-anything like official per se, even though it's slightly different than most people would perceive. But this is a chance of a lifetime for somebody to get on the ground of a technology like this. It's a big, big opportunity for everybody to get involved. But most people don't know about it yet, and what I'm finding is a lot of people they're scared to death of it because the ramifications are remarkable. But at the same time, this is the time to take action for something like this because of that current economic situation. Now is where you'd want to invest in the United States. Today, this is a shot for you not to just to be a part of a company and be a part of something that's like it's going to change the human condition. You can participate in that. But you've got to tell everybody. You've got to step up to the plate, because I know for this deal, the public, you're going to have to roll that ball through. You're going to have to roll it all through, and you're going to have to push for this, and you're going to have to want it, and you're going to have to, you know, hence coldfusionnow.org. Okay, so this is for either of you. So what's the difference between Brilliant Energy and all the others that are in the field? What's the basic premise there?
Robert Gaddis, do you want to go off to that one?
Yeah. So the big difference between what Brilliant is doing and what everybody else is doing is basically control. Brilliant Energy is designing all of its reaction systems based on the hypothesis that was published in Infinite Energy, and it's available on our website. But we're actually driving the underlying physics, which gives you control over the reaction. Once you understand the physics, you can turn it on, you can turn it off, and to some extent you control how much heat you're getting out of the system.
Mm-hmm. And here's probably it's a philosophical question when people, you know, I'm expecting that new listeners are showing up and listening to this interview as well. So there's a question here that I wanted to address that's a philosophical one too, because the main thing is, why is your system producing consistent output? How? I guess the question is why and how.
Why and how is it putting, is it generating output?
Yes.
I think probably a lot of your listeners may be familiar, or at least have heard of Rossi, and there's sure. copper, and there's natural
sure.
copper showing up in this thing. I think if they were to do an isotopic analysis of the copper that had showed up in Rossi's reaction systems, and it's probably also showing up in Defcalion's, although I don't think anybody's actually seen anything from them yet. I think the preponderance of copper that shows up there would probably be copper 65. Copper 63 and copper 65 are the two naturally occurring isotopes of copper. And the reason for that is that this reaction, the LENR reaction, is a weak interaction. And the heat that is produced, it's a two-step reaction. The first step is actually endothermic, which means that it absorbs energy. And then the exothermic part, which is much more exothermic than the endothermic part, is when neutrons accumulate onto another nucleus within the lattice. Ideally, you have it accumulate onto other hydrogen nuclei that are within the lattice, which is always an exothermic event, or if it doesn't matter if it accumulates onto a nickel or a palladium, that's also an exothermic event. It releases a lot of energy. So, what we actually call our system a controlled electron capture reaction. Because what you do is you want to control the creation of the neutrons, and you generate a neutron by causing a proton to capture an electron. That's why it's a controlled electron capture reaction.
Hmm.
But you can tell Robert Goddess is an expert because he can tell the listeners more than they want to hear.
Right.
I think people have had enough, and that's why I shut up. I thought, you're going off the deep end, Robert.
No. People want to hear that because I know people. It's just I hear what the public is saying when they're discussing this, and I see the emails and stuff, and a lot of them really don't have a clue what the technical situation is at all, but they just want it. They just want it now. They're like, everybody is supportive of this in the public. It's really interesting, but the technical questions, go ahead. I say them how you want to say them, regardless of people understand. So this is the other issue. What's the timeline that you guys are working with to bring the technology to market? I mean,
we have two systems. One is what we call a wet boiler that will operate at 140 degrees C. And the second system, which we'll be doing with SRI International, will operate in the 400 to 450 degrees C. And we're looking at 12 to 18 months to bring it to strategic partners. We don't plan to become a manufacturer. We're going to be a licensor. And the boiler manufacturers obviously already have the ability to do the heat exchangers and so forth, and what we'll be providing is a system that will be the new boiler. It'll be the heat source, and they'll do the heat exchangers and heat your domestic hot water, your home, your commercial building, and the other system will actually should be capable of generating electric power out of some of the retiring coal-fired power plants.
Okay, did everybody hear that, what he just said? Okay, I'm like, when I hear you talk about that stuff, and you've already done the trench work for all of this, I want to see it happen tomorrow, actually. But
I have to say, it's an exciting time, and with our dependence on oil, it couldn't come at a better time, and I'm really excited to work with Robert Goddess. I basically adopted the philosophy that, you know, he has. It's the best way to predict the future is to invent it. And he's basically invented a control system to capitalize on a system that was originally discovered 22 years ago by Pons and Fleischmann, and people have been unable to make it work consistently. A lot of people have gotten a lot of heat out of it, but they haven't been able to control it. And I really admire Robert Goddess because, you know, he's an electrical engineer. He basically started from the ground up and worked up a system that can actually control the system, which is what his area of expertise is. And that's where he's filed his patents, and you've got to admire the guy. He's stuck to it for the last 10 years, sacrificing home and family to get this to market. And you really have to respect somebody that'll do that.
Hey, listen. I like guys with guts. I have total respect for that, because I like players. He's a player.
You've got to admire people like that because that's how you change the world. A little bit at a time, but
exactly. Which is what I initially, when I spoke to Mr. Goddess, I was very passionate about this America leading the world in this, and should, since it started here, we should be leading the world. And
we should be.
And
well, I gotta say, because of your position and your philosophy, I mean, that's the one reason that Robert Goddess and I wanted to do the interview with you first and foremost, because we agree with you. I mean, all this activity in Israel and Italy and all these people making outrageous claims, it helps the field a little bit and hurts a lot. And, you know, that's why we've been quiet, because we wanted to get our system operational. We wanted to be able to show people a system that's running. And we wanted to make sure our technology was sound. So, you know, we're moving in that direction. We're excited about it. And this next round will bring us, we believe, to the goalpost.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And what is the, how many people does Brilliant have working on your system now?
Technical people, we have about 9 engineers Then on our advisory board, we have a group of scientists that basically advise us on everything from fluid dynamics and thermodynamics to configurations. And we have Dr. Michael McCoubrey from SRI International that's one of the world-renowned experts on cold fusion. So
he did the 60 Minutes. They opened up with him on 60 Minutes when he laid the hammer down. I remember that. Yeah.
He was a skeptic originally when Robert Goddard first talked to him, and he's come over to believing in our side. I mean, he's been doing a lot of work with heavy water reactions for the controlled electron capture. Now he believes, as we do, that you can use it with regular water in a pressurized system, and that's what we're working with.
Now, are you going to? This is the thing that's the big question. I can tell this because I've spoken to money people and big international organizations with consortiums with loads of big-time attorneys, celebrities, scientists and scholars in their field, that the CEO of this company, the organizer, the big question is, in terms of, you know, coming in as somebody that's going to come in and finance a company, how much infrastructure is needed to meet a demand that would be essentially immediate? I mean, how would you? Is it difficult to reproduce everything in terms of getting into market? Is it a big process, and is there a lot involved to do that?
Well, there are any number of different sizes of pressure vessels which we use in our wet boiler, and so we expect that the commercial systems will probably be 20 to 30% more than a current boiler, and about the same size. We're talking about for a residential application, a pressure tank about the size of a scuba tank. The electronics, which Robert Goddard has developed and patented through Kirkpatrick Townsend, a heat exchanger, which the manufacturers, the boiler manufacturers all over the country have the capability of doing. They're the iron vendors, and that's why we don't want to become a manufacturer. We won't be a competitor. Mm-hmm. And they'll be able to substitute Brillo and boilers in where you have a coal-fired, oil-fired, gas-fired electric boiler providing the heat, and you maybe add additional heat exchangers to transfer it to the building. But the system basically is going to be a one-on-one replacement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, the next question is, in terms of people that are listening as investors, venture capitalists, independent wealthy people, whatever, expendable cash, want to put it into something that's, it doesn't take much people, it's pretty obvious what we got here. It's pretty obvious, it doesn't take much. But once you've listened to it and you've done all the homework and you've checked out a lot of the information that's on coldfusionnow.org, you're going to see that this is probably one of the greatest investments you're ever going to do. It's a game changer for everybody. Everybody. But here's the main thing that a lot of money people want to know about. And the good question is, what's the current status of your patents? Either of you can answer that.
Well, currently the patent is applied for. We have one large patent that's applied for, and we've actually that initial application was actually granted in China. Mm-hmm. We're fielding off factions from Japan right now, and we've recently filed an update with the USPTO to keep the U.S. application alive until somebody comes out with an actual product. It's unlikely that the USPTO will grant a patent to Brilliant Energy, or really to anybody, even Zawardi at NASA, which is a whole other story. But we actually just had a significant interaction with the examiner at the USPTO, and The guy who's actually examining our patent is he worked quite a bit in the plasma fusion arena for a number of years and kind of gone into semi-retirement working as a patent examiner. And he's actually kind of rooting for the cold fusion crowd, but the edict has been handed down from on high that they are not to grant any patents in this field, which is a really sad state of affairs that the fiasco that happened in '89 is still dogging us here in the United States.
Right, right. No, because, I mean, I've discussed many times on radio the ownership issue of this, because of its nature, because of what it, the potential is. I really think that's almost an inhibitor. It's been inhibitive to the field for certain people who want to take position and completely own it. Though it'd be natural in a market to be competitive like that and want to race to the finish line. But for this particular situation and where we're at economically, globally, with nuclear power and everything else, I think I can say this, and I think the audience would agree that there needs to be, and add on if I'm missing anything here, there should be an international consortium of all the major players in cold fusion to decide to make some decisions about how to proceed and come together. Now, I want to get, while we're here, what you have to say about that.
Well, you know, between two people, you can have friendship. Between three or more, you wind up with politics.
Right.
And I think that we've been approached by somebody who's trying to put together a conglomerate of everybody that's got intellectual property involved in the field.
Yeah, and we're in the process of talking to them because an exchange of ideas is always helpful. And you know, we're looking at this because the U.S. has consistently been a leader in technology, and it seems that, you know, between the Naval Research Lab and NASA, the U.S. government has taken a serious interest in this. We've had visits from the Naval Research Lab folks from Washington, D.C. They've come out to the lab to look at our system. They're planning to come back in the next couple of months with additional test and analysis equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And probably due to your efforts, there's been a lot of commercial interest. We've had a lot of major corporations coming to meet with us in the last couple of months. So creating an awareness that there's a technology here that makes sense and there's an alternative to fossil fuels is probably the biggest challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I was, you know, when I get emails from people regarding this subject matter and they want to know what the U.S. is doing about this, I haven't said a lot for reasons because it was your wishes and you didn't want to talk, but the world has totally changed now, and I think it's about time that this get to a much, much, much bigger level. One of the things that I'd want to ask both of you is, what do you think about? Because I know the a lot of people say, okay, the average person is going to say, okay, how much money am I going to save on my house, and will I be able to use it to charge my electric car or something like that? They're to go straight. How much is it? What's it going to cost? How long will it take me to get it? And how much money can I save? What would you say to that?
It's a good question. Basically, where the high-end system that will easily generate electricity, we're looking at potentially from our cost analysis at about 1 cent per kilowatt hour, but that's on a commercial system. For a residential application, you know, to get a higher R value or COP on it, you're talking a turbine that, you know, it's not something that you currently have, but mm-hmm. you know, if you have the inverters from a solar power system, then, you know, you're closer to what we're talking about. But we're talking about just doing the boiler. We're, you know, we're going to let the
sure. No, I get that part. They're not jumping too far ahead. I understand. Right. No, that is essential. The first stage to putting it out to sea, so to speak. But no, I totally agree with that. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just give out the website for everybody. I'm going to take a break, but I'm going to give it this website out, coalfusionnow.org. There will be a link to Brilliant's Energy website that you can go to. You can see everything there, as well as their biographies and so forth, which are extensive. You'll always be able to use this MP3 and send it around as well. You can download it and send it to anybody you wish to. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Well, for most of America, this could be the toughest time in your life. Never in the history of history has the issue of alleged debt been such an area of distress. Or is it? I'd like to invite you to think about a life of financial freedom, abundance, and wisdom. Well over 10 years ago, I participated in the largest and most successful financial relief campaign in U.S. history. Today, this continues on here on the Achieve Radio Network. If you're ready to take action and take your power back, now is the time. If you're in alleged credit card debt of any kind here in the U.S., this is your time to break free and begin your ascension process. This is for you. Email me at getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. That's getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. That's getdebtreliefnow@gmail.com. Take back your power now. Hey everyone, this is James Martinez. You know, it has been months since RNA Drops have been open to the public on the market. And today, there is no doubt this product will change your world forever. I'd like to give special thanks to its creators, Ion, Dr. Carolyn Dean, and Bob Nevitt for bringing this to the public. And I'm very pleased to announce the continued success of RNA Drops. Today, tomorrow, and the next day, you're going to hear even more positive testimonials from all over the world. Included in the positive results of these products is that of Renew and Realign. For further details, go to jamesmartinezrnadrops.com. That's jamesmartinezrnadrops.com. Feel free to listen to the 2 hours of testimonials. And many of you know already, this is a special time for the world. And now it's your special time. Join us and participate in the greatest product to hit the market ever. You heard it right. I said ever. Tell your friends, tell your family, take your life, and take your power back. James Martinez, RNADrops.com. Okay, everybody, welcome back. This is James Martinez. Okay, make sure you would please go to the following website, coldfusionnow.org, when you're listening to this. And what I want you to do also is I want you to check out the other website as well. Brilliant Energy. Let me spell that out for you. It's brilloouinergy.com. I'm speaking with Robert George and Robert Gottes. Robert Gottes is the President and Chief Technical Officer, and Robert George is the Chief Executive Officer, and they are the dynamic duo for certain. Now, let's go back to where we were a little bit before, talking about patents. And specifically, I want you to address what do you think of the patent application by NASA's Dr. Zawadny, if I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Well, I was actually a little disappointed that at the way that that was submitted. From what I can tell, he looked at Widab and Larson, which I think you've covered them on this show, and I know Stephen Krivit at the New Energy Times is a big fan of Widab and Larson, and I think they have the part that it's a weak nuclear interaction that's going on is absolutely correct. And then the other kind of pivotal paper or work that Zawadny drew on, which was disclosed publicly years ago, is Dennis Kravins and Dennis Letts that did a lot of work with using lasers in interference beats to excite the lattice and stimulate the reaction. The group at Missouri University has been doing a lot of work with patterning the surface. And all that has to do with stimulation of photons. They call them, Zawadny and Dennis Lewis call it surface plasmons, which is sort of a form of phonon. A phonon is a vibration in the lattice. The kind of funny thing is that when you use a laser, you can really only stimulate surface phonons or plasmons on the device, and they're looking at patterning the surface to try and improve the reaction using lasers. But the reality is that the reaction, you need to stimulate just a little bit below the surface, and you can get it going with plasmons. But of course that causes the water to boil, and boiling water has bubbles in it, and bubbles make great lenses, and it's going to be really hard to build an industrial useful system where you're using lasers to stimulate it and get it to go. So it's great. I'm really glad that Zawadny filed the patent, because it made a kind of a big splash. It's like, look, NASA's serious about this stuff. It's real. And it is real. But,
yes. Thank you. Thank you. You have to tell people sometimes, because you know what? I still deal with people to this day that they kind of just stare at me and like, what? And I said, yeah, check it out. And even when you show people the evidence and it's still, and you keep piling it on and keep driving it on, it's a lot of people have a hard time with realizing that. Yeah, yeah. It works.
Robert George was part of that crew, and there's still, you know, probably still a majority of people. They say, well, that was completely debunked. Rob Duncan on the 60 Minutes interview when he first went to check out Energetics Technologies when they were still in Israel before they moved to the University of Missouri. He said, well, that was completely debunked back in 89, wasn't it? And, you know, most people still think that's what it was.
Yeah, like there's like psychological bruise.
Yeah.
Like, it's like
it's
a psychological bruise.
People.
That's what I think.
The phenomenon is real. It's just that nobody understood the physics behind it. Once you understand the physics, then it's really just a matter of engineering to make it real. And that's what Brilliant Energy is engaging in, is engineering work.
Okay, there's two ways to answer this question I have for you. And one is the scientific way, if you're speaking to your peers, and the other would be how you'd explain it to the public. And that question is, why has the technology been so difficult to understand?
The reason for that is that it is very multidisciplined in nature. The only conference that I've actually taken my work to was ICCF 14 in Washington, D.C. And the people I was working with indirectly got me involved, introduced me to Robert George, our CEO. They said, "Oh, they asked me, are you going to go to ICCF 14? It was 2 weeks before the deadline. I said, no, they're all barking up the wrong tree, and they don't want to hear from me because, you know, I'm saying that it can work with ordinary water and palladium, and I've got data to prove it."
Uh-huh.
And he said, no, you have to go to that conference if you're going to raise money. Okay.
See, they can't even hear you. Oh, my God. Okay.
I said, okay. So I submitted my white paper. It's actually got published in Infinite Energy Magazine, issue 82. And you can see the sort of the preprint of that article is available on the website. So I went, and they said, come in. And I really was sort of, they were glad to have me on the one hand because I was bringing new ideas, but on the other hand, they were a little suspicious, kind of like McCoubrey when I first went and I talked to him. I showed him my data. He said, this is really interesting. I said, this is with ordinary water and bleeding. He said, No. I said, yeah, really. You can run it if you understand the physics. You can run it with ordinary water and palladium.
Wow. And, so this was like his jaws dropped, scientific jaws dropped. Oh, wow.
So I went, I put together this whole PowerPoint. And, you know, it's kind of amazing how many researchers, they, like, work like mad up until the very last minute, and then they go to these conferences, and they don't really have their presentation down. I saw a conferencer, you know, people who were actually giving oral presentations, working on their presentations in the break room, in the poster board.
So wait a minute. Oh my God. So you're saying that when these guys come out and talk about this, that they don't know how to communicate, basically, if they're rehearsing something, but they don't know how to, they're worried about the performance?
They can communicate to people within their own field. But the problem is that this is a very multidisciplined action
that's
going on in the LENR reaction is very multidisciplined. So I put together this whole PowerPoint, which is actually available on the website. If you go to the technology link on the right now, it's on the right hand side. We're getting a website that's more modern, but I did it, and so it looks pretty clunky and old. But you click on the technology thing at the bottom. There's a link there to BE Tech 25 or 26, something like that. And you click on it. I played that. Somebody came up and was asking me about my presentation. I said, oh, I actually have this whole presentation that I put together on my memory stick. How about if I play it on the computer? They said, yeah. So I got this whole horseshoe of researchers, all different backgrounds. And on almost every single slide, somebody in the room went, yeah, that's it. And there's slides on. It's funny, but it's also frustrating at the same time. There's, you know, there's slides on chemistry. There's slides on thermodynamics. There's slides on quantum mechanics, mechanics of materials.
You have to really have an understanding of all this stuff to even get what's going on.
You really do have to understand. At least you don't have to be an expert in all of those areas, but you have to be able to understand, you know, at least some aspects of all of those different areas. When people come to the lab, and you know, technical people come to vet us and vet the technology, I always ask them. I say, "What's your discipline? You know, what's your background?" Because then I try and tailor the discussion so that
they
can understand it from their perspective.
Exactly,
because everybody's got a different perspective. It was really gratifying to go to that conference and have all of these different people, you know, say, oh, that's it. But the problem is that that particular slide that they were pointing at and shaking their finger and going, that's it, is only a piece of it. And unless you understand the stuff that comes in all the slides before that slide and all the slides after that slide,
right,
unless you put all of that information together, you cannot have an industrially useful product.
I'm glad you're talking about this because I've never heard, none of the scientists that I've talked to thus far has spoken like that, the way you just did, explained.
And there's different things that you can do to drive almost everybody, pretty much everybody outside of Brillo and Energy is working on what I call gross loading, and I cover that in that PowerPoint on the website.
Ask you this. Does people that are competitive, does their competition with you blind them?
I'm sorry, there people in competition with me what?
Does it blind them? In other words, you know, if people can't understand, maybe it's because they're competitive and they think theirs is better and they can't even see your vantage point. You know what I mean? Some people get personal about it.
First off, there's not really, I actually made some posts on Rossi's website said, go look at my intellectual property filings at the USPTO. I tell you how to control the unit that you're trying to build.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to have somebody with something that's almost usable out there pushing it because it's raising the visibility of the field. But the reality is what he's got is not a product, which is why you're not seeing, you know, huge numbers of them shipping. And you've got Def Calion, which was working with Rossi initially, and they have, you know, they said, oh, we're going to have 7 independent labs test our unit. I haven't heard much more about that since then. But I've known from the moment that I saw what Rossi was doing that, initially he said, oh, I'm going to have, 125 10-kilowatt modules. Well, maybe he was going to have, and that was going to be a 1-megawatt module. You need 110 kilowatt modules to get a megawatt. I thought, so maybe he's got 25 spares in there, but based on what I see, just visually, just quick look at the unit, I said, there's no way, he can't produce that because he's going to have, it's called process variation, but also, there's a whole host of things. Want to bore everybody with the whole host of things of why what he's got can't work. So I told him to go and look at our thing, and he added 2 wires. They said, oh, no, I'm feeding frequencies in there, and I thought, somebody told me that. I thought, maybe he's figured he's actually gone and implemented it, but when I saw the picture of his new device, I realized that he may be kind of doing what I call a Q-pulse, to stimulate it and stabilize the reaction, but he is still missing critical components, and it's blatantly obvious by looking at it that he's missing the really critical components that you need to stabilize what it is that he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so Def Calion's going to have very much the same problem. I'm glad to have somebody else out there, or we're going to compete with Rossi. The reality is I don't think that either one of those companies really has an actual product. There's something with process variation. There's something you can do. I've designed products in a number of different areas where you can go and manufacture, the largest volume item that I've manufactured. They're producing 100,000 a year on this piece, this product that I helped design. And you can wind up with variations. You start binning. You're listening, Rossi, you might try this. You're still not going to really have a product. It's called binning. So you take everything that operates between X and Y or A and B, and you put that in one bin. And you take all the other bits and pieces that operate between B and C, you put those in another bin. Between C and D, you put those in another bin. And so you can assemble modules that, that operate, are going to operate in the same range. but I don't think that he can really reliably turn his units off and then back on again.
I love it. You're changing the world right on the radio.
I'd like to see these guys actually start shipping something, you know, because it would really, that would really explode the field. People would, money would really start pouring in, and we could really, then I would get the money that I need to engineer a system that is really, truly industrially useful, and, you know, we'd have something that people could put under the hood of their car.
Now, here's the big thing, like, okay, just a second. Now that you've said that and you've come to that position, this is really, because I think that from the public standpoint, just based upon you've said that they won't understand anything you said scientifically, which is fine. They don't need to. What they want to know, what everybody wants to know is this something that could be the, could America lead the world here with this? That you have the very beginning, like, you know, when the car was first built, could we take back our position?
Absolutely. America could, but right now politics in America would much rather shoot each other in the foot.
Right. exactly. Right.
Then make America, you know, get America really back on top. There's so many things that they could do that they absolutely will not. I mean, Michael McCoubrey, working at SRI, is one of the top people at one of the top institutions in this country.
Right.
And he cannot get any ARPA-E money to study this phenomenon.
Yeah, now, just a second. Hang on before we get just a minute. Do either of you know how much money the Department of Energy forked out for various things? Do you know the amount? Because I know you guys didn't get anything.
I saw it listed like
$70 billion or something.
We know Solyndra went belly up with half a billion.
What's that?
We know Solyndra went belly up with half a billion.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy. It's crazy to me that, well, I understand, you know, it's that you guys are, you're beginning the new civilization.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, this is what's involved here, and that's what I've been talking about. When I'm not talking to you guys that are involved on the ground level, we're talking about this changing not only America and our position, but it's also going to change the way everybody lives in the future. This is like one of the most important things, probably in terms of stories that is happening in the world right now, that for some reason, either people just, it's not gotten out yet, even though I know in the next 60 days, it's going to be out much, much, much bigger, much bigger. And then people are going to start paying attention to the one thing that could really bring this country back and change us forever. And everybody wins. Everybody wins. So what's the other question is a broiler, the Brulon broiler, going to be compatibly priced compared to existing fossil fuel systems that are out there now?
Absolutely. It should be the raw cost of the system should be about 30% higher than a conventional fossil fuel boiler. You know, the system is quite simple. The electronics are complex, but you're talking about a pressure tank and a heat exchanger and the electronics to drive the reaction. We're using nickel as the catalyst, not platinum or palladium, so there's no exotic metals in there. So, you know, it's not an expensive device to build.
Right.
And the electronics are complicated, but it's less complicated than the cell phone I'm talking to you on.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. How long was that the, in terms of the most difficult part of the device is the electronics? Was that a particularly difficult thing to master, the electronics of the device?
Yeah, it's very complex. Robert Gaddis has worked on it for a long time. That's what the patent is covering. The proprietary information that is not disclosed is the actual frequencies that the electronics use to drive the reaction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, as when people have stopped by, I know you've had many visitors. When they stop by and see the device for themselves, what is the typical reaction you get from people? Because some people maybe the first time they've ever seen a device like this, so they don't know. They're maybe in shock.
I keep wanting to figure out some way to mount a video camera or something inside. I call it the cube, where the actual reactors sitting and operating. And I love seeing people who've done things, who've actually built things and worked in a laboratory. Uh-huh. And they come around the corner and they look at it and they go, wow.
That's totally worth it for you then. If you can just get that. That's a game changer. Oh my god. Wow, so when the people that really appreciate it, they understand what they're looking at.
Yeah.
No, so I know you, I before we set up to do this, I asked, you know, could you talk about some of the people that have they're involved with the company as either investors or maybe not? It's totally up to you, but who do you got as a family of people that are involved?
As I said, you know, you can look at the advisory board, which is an extensive list of very prominent people that know the field and know different aspects of the field, from the electronic circuit board with Roger Fuller to Dr. McCoubrey and Edward Beardsworth. And then, you know, we have some significant investors. Jan Scholes is the wife of Myron Scholes, who's a Nobel Prize winner. And so we have a variety of angel investors. We don't have any institutional investors involved in the company at this point, but we have a lot of strategic and potential strategic investors, corporations that have come to the forefront recently because they're looking at this technology as a game changer, and they're seeing that, you know, for a minimal investment you could get involved in it very early. But as you know, most corporations would rather pay 10 times as much 2 years from now than do an investment now.
Right. Yeah. It seems to be, I'm just shocked by the whole thing, to tell you the truth. I can only attribute it to, I think, is that it's so new, even though for you guys it's not new at all, not me, but for us, this is not new news. This is, we've known about it. But for most of the world, a lot of people just don't have a clue at all. I figured that I looked and did research to find out who else had been talking about cold fusion on other networks, and it's pretty minimal. It's pretty minimal. A lot of it's been due to bad press, I would say, and I wanted to make sure that press would be reversed in a different vantage point. So I'm thankful both of you decided to step up to the plate with everybody else and talk about your company and what your plans are and what you foresee in the formidable future. And I've got about, let's see, in the last like 2 or 3 minutes we have here, if there's one thing that you would want to say to the public about your company or about this is a political thing or an economic thing, what would you say to the public, this is for both of you to answer, in terms of what your company can offer?
I think, you know, the fact that this is, you look at all the green energy from solar to photovoltaics, you know, they're going to make an insignificant change in the overall consumption of energy and the addition to the use of power in the United States and worldwide. But, you know, something like a Brillouin boiler where you can generate process heat, you know, whether it's domestic hot water or heating your home, heating a building, you know, that can make a significant difference over the next 10 years on our oil dependence. And, you know, the fact that people are becoming sensitive to it is a good thing, but we really appreciate, you know, your effort, because, you know, calling attention to it, people seem to be a little apathetic, a little oblivious. And
I would agree.
If it's not really put in their face, they're not going to pay attention because they don't think they can make a difference. And
right.
We're out here every day trying to make a difference.
Right. I totally agree. Now, Mr. Goddess, dynamic duo number two.
It's interesting. I've heard Robert George say a number of times, and I know this is true. People say, and actually I've run into it myself personally talking to people. Say, what are you working on? I said, well, I figured out how to build a practical nuclear reactor or practical fusion reactor. And they say, that's going to cost billions of dollars. And so they're afraid to touch it. But the reality is that, just a few million dollars could actually bring this technology to the point where OEMs, for those that don't know this, means original equipment manufacturers, could start producing these in large numbers for general consumption.
Mm-hmm.
We could start repowering coal plants. That's when you take an old plant that is no longer functioning and you repower it. Right now they do most repowering. They go from coal to natural gas. But that's still ancient carbon that you're dredging up. This technology could go in and repower those coal plants with LENR, the new hydrogen boiler project that we're working on. And it really only takes a few million dollars, is what it would take to bring this technology, to bear on the problems, the energy problems of the world. And we need some people to step up with, just a couple of million dollars can make a huge, huge difference. And, think about if you went, had an opportunity to buy Apple at $30 a share.
Exactly. Hello.
$50 million into Apple at $30 a share. This is the opportunity. You have the opportunity to do that now with Brilliant Energy.
Right on. Thank you both very, very much for doing this. I know I've been talking to you guys for a long time. I'm glad you came on finally and contributed. Everybody, take this MP3. Send it all over the place. It's yours to do. This is the game changer for the United States. It's the game changer for the world, actually. All right. Thank you very much, everybody. This is James Martinez. We'll see you next time.